Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Man, we got a lot of juicy stuff today. Let's do it inside of our Quicken Loan studio. National mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently here on this football Monday. It's also a bit of a World Series Monday. It's also a bit of a Big Ten Monday. Wild stuff with Michigan State pregame. The Buckeyes get rolled. It's an NBA brawl Monday. What's happening, buddy? How are
Man,
you
everything
today?
Everything is all screwed up. Because guess what? Virginia's knocking on the top 25 in the AP.
Wait, basketball or football?
Football. They're top five basketball. They're 31st or so.
Are they?
Virginia, after their second consecutive win, beating Duke.
Here they come.
Daniel Jones, who we like. But Virginia, two wins in a row.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Well, listen, you showed up on campus. You
exactly.
started a winning streak.
It works.
They beat Miami.
Chris Long
homecoming.
Was there as well. A bunch of the alumni, football alumni. You got some motivation. I like it.
Awesome. That's good. So, well, listen.
The minorest of stories. Because there's so much went on this weekend, BT. I don't even know where to start.
Hold on. I would start with this. If I went to Virginia, I don't know if I'd use the word minorist. That's probably a good starting point for one of the great schools in America.
It's actually a great one. It's actually a great story.
I don't know if that's a word.
Most minor.
I know what you meant. You're still giddy over your win.
I haven't made one up in a while. It's almost been a year, I think, since I've made up a word. I'm trying to think of the last word I made up.
Well, you know, every couple of months you do that. And I do it. I used to do it. I'm sure I do it once in a while.
D-Cell, make sure minorist is not a word.
It's not a word. All right. So, welcome to the first real football implosion of the 2018 season.
Yep.
Circus, mess, complete fracturing. Wow. The Jaguars, that ended fast. Remember when they were good?
I did. Yeah. Like a year ago? What happened?
More like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good
point. When they beat the Pats.
Here's the thing. The Jacksonville Jaguars knew what they had in Blake Bortles. We actually talked about this pregame, BT. We laid this out fully because of Leonard Fournette's inability to pick up first downs, to grind out slow, methodical yardage, which puts you in manageable third down situations where your quarterback doesn't feel like he has to be a hero. Because trust me, when a quarterback is third and 8+ frequently, he feels like he has to be a hero. It's not easy when it's third and 8+ because there's so many ways to defend that particular down and distance. That's what the Jaguars are in all the time because Blake Bortles can't connect on simple things and they can't run the ball. And so as a result, you get them trying to be a hero. Fumble, turnover. What, they have 8 turnovers over the last 2 weeks or something like that?
They've given up almost 100 points in the last 3 weeks, which is
and
very
again,
hard to compute.
And again, part of that is because their defense is on the field all the time. Mm-hmm. Part of it is because I think that defense is starting to turn on each other.
Hence the use of the word implosion.
You're right.
Anarchy might be better.
The report coming out of the
anarchy. Anarchy from within a little bit.
Yeah,
a little civil unrest.
The only reason I'm not saying anarchy, BP, okay, because it's a good word and it probably should describe this team. The only reason I'm saying it's not anarchy is because somehow these guys, whether it's Calais Campbell or Jalen Ramsey or whoever.
Ngakoue. Whoever. Where are we going with
this? They're not publicly saying anything. They're saying all the right things, even though they're the wrong things publicly. So
They're trying to keep their business in-house.
Yes.
Okay.
It's anarchy
when
you're just like, I don't even care, man. This is terrible. This guy is horrible. Our scheme stinks. You know, we can't do this. You start throwing guys under the bus. That's when it becomes anarchy. They're not throwing anybody under the bus yet. they're leaving it to us to throw everybody under the bus.
I don't think we need a very big bus, nor do I think we need a bus equipped with a full tank of gas to actually do that.
No, you don't.
It's time to run them over.
No, this team is...
just, you bench Blake Bortles, Jalen Ramsey doesn't want to talk to anybody all of a sudden. The defense is getting gashed. Leonard Fournette's nowhere to be seen. They're a disaster.
Yeah, they really
are. They're an absolute mess. I'm going to stand by anarchy.
This is probably the biggest surprise, because I thought they were poised to take steps forward. You know, just because I got a chance to meet and talk to a lot of guys on that team when we did the game in week one. Mm-hmm. And so you talk to Blake Bortles, and he's like, he hears all this stuff, but he's good at ignoring it. Like, he doesn't acknowledge it. It doesn't seem like it's affecting him. Obviously, it must be, because he's pressing and trying to make plays with his legs, but not being cognizant of the ball. And he fumbles twice, which leads him to get benched in favor of Cody Kessler, who, by the way, had a really good preseason. Cody Kessler, it's a preseason, but still, he had a good preseason.
Yep,
came down, led a touchdown.
Played better than Bortles
when
he got in the game.
Well, not a doubt he did.
Scored a touchdown.
He had a fumble, but that's just because he hasn't played a lot. You're not used to the speed. You get hit. Interception was not his fault. That was on T.J. Yeldon. So it's one of those things where now you have a quarterback controversy. So part of the anarchy that could ensue is who's starting at quarterback right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is probably Doug Marrone's biggest decision that he can make, because we're not out of it. Like, the South is so convoluted.
Yep.
They're not out of it at all. I mean, mm-hmm. You got the Texans, or the Titans, I should say, going for it.
We'll get to it.
2-point conversion instead of going for the tie and potentially the win over in Wembley.
Horrendous.
Terrible.
Horrendous, Vrabel. What are you doing?
And even
makes zero sense.
So the best team, the best team is probably the Texans, mm-hmm. and they're only a game ahead of you. So they're not out of it. So this decision means the world right now, who Doug Marrone's decided to go at quarterback. And he said it's open competition, which is dangerous to do in week 8 of the NFL season.
Okay, let's hear from Marrone. First up on benching Blake Bortles, here's the head coach of the Jags.
The thought process behind it was, you could take all 11 out, but you don't have enough people to put in. So the thought process was, hey, listen, I'm going to take the quarterback out. All right. It's not like he played worse than anyone else out there. You know, he did have the two fumbles, but at the same time, I just literally did it to try to get a damn spark from this football team, to put everyone on notice, okay, to that they have to focus and they have to go out there and play better. That's not fair to the quarterback, but that's the way this business is. So really, when we talk about it, and the questions are going to be, well, who's your starting quarterback next week? And, you know, the focus will be on that. But for me, it's on everyone.
I have no problem with that.
I don't either.
I really don't.
I think he's right. Now, to be fair, their two tackles are down.
Mm-hmm.
Both their tight ends are down.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Fournette is down.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the players to be where they were last year. They just don't. I mean, mm-hmm. to be fair to them. But really good quarterbacks, and those that are making $18-plus million a year, like Blake Bortles, find a way to get through these injury periods.
Elevate.
He's not.
Elevate.
He can't elevate.
No, he's not.
He's pulling them down.
How about Blake? Let's get his reaction post-game. Bortles on grabbing some wood, getting sent to the bench. Here he is.
I don't think anything ever surprises you playing this game at this level. After that, the second fumble, Doug let me know that Cody was going to go in. And you got to take care of the ball, give yourself a chance to score points and win, or at least punt it and try to change the field position. So I didn't do that, and they made a change.
All right, say what you will about Bortles. He's pretty measured, pretty smart, pretty savvy, pretty poised. He never allows whatever may be infiltrating his mind to come out there for public consumption. And you got to respect that.
I do.
You got to respect that. You have to. This I don't respect. I want to play Jalen Ramsey. Now we get to the really interesting part of the Jaguars. Jalen Ramsey, let's face it, likes to talk until he doesn't. Here he is.
What do you do to get this back on track? What's going on? How do you fix this stuff, Jalen?
I know y'all don't want me to say it, but I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you got to have some.
I don't know. I'm telling y'all. Once again, I do not know. I don't know.
How do you solve the frustration in here? How do you guys handle it amongst yourselves?
Don't know. Y'all going to get mad at me. When I say something, y'all don't like it. When I don't say something, like, I don't know. I ain't about to say nothing about my teammates, no nothing. That ain't what I'm doing. I don't know. If I had the recipe, if I knew what was going on, we would all be sharing it with each other. We wouldn't continue taking L's, but I don't know. We taking L's and we got to figure it out, but we don't, like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
All right. Sadly, some people do, and you and I are not among these people.
Yeah.
Where some people take joy in, you know, other people's pain.
Misery. Yes.
Misery, specific to sport, not in real life. I mean, if you take joy in that, you're just a twisted, sadistic soul. I'm talking about sports, right? I don't. Even teams that I really don't like at my core, like the Red Sox, I don't want to see an injury. I mean, some people, they're twisted in that sense. I've never been that way.
There's lots of Schadenfreuders in the world.
A little bit. But I got to tell you, I'm taking a strange amount of pleasure in the demise of the Jaguars here. I really am.
Because of Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey, right?
Yes.
Who's a great player.
No doubt.
And good for the game.
But he did get beat by DeAndre Hopkins on a pretty simple slam.
You're talking about the one-handed grab by Hopkins?
No. I'm talking about the touchdown.
Oh, yeah. The one-handed grab, he got beat as well because that was Jalen Ramsey defending him one-on-one.
You're right.
Uh-huh.
But that was a great catch by Hopkins.
It's true.
The slant for the touchdown was just a slant for a touchdown.
Got beat.
He did.
It was pretty easy. Quote, just being honest, Joe Flacco sucks. That's what he says. I played him 2 years in a row. He sucks. End quote. No embellishment. Not trying to stir the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Just reading. I think Josh Allen's trash. It's a quote. I don't care what nobody says. He's trash.
Yeah.
End quote. Andrew Luck. Quote. I don't really think he's that good. End quote. Quote. I think Matt Ryan's overrated. End quote.
Mm.
Quote. Jared Goff, he's average. Reminds me of Garoppolo a little bit. I don't think Garoppolo's that good. Quote. Quote. I won't say Eli's good. End quote. I mean, when you put yourself out there like that, and again, he usually has the talent to back it up.
Of course he does.
Yesterday he didn't, though. That's why I say usually.
But so much of...
Okay, fair enough. I know he's tired. He's gassed.
No, not even. I'm just saying.
He's not getting help. I know it's everybody else's fault.
It's not everybody's fault. They just are not playing good defensively. BT, they are getting gashed.
I know.
In the run. Forget what... I mean, they don't have to throw the ball at Jalen Ramsey or A.J. Boye if you don't want to. They're getting gashed. They gave up 200 yards. What did they give up yesterday? 190 or something like that?
Stats are unkind to him from every angle. There's no doubt. But the reason why I do take a little bit of joy in this is humility's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I understand the showmanship aspect, and I understand the flair. You know, and I don't know. If I was an athlete, I would never do what Jalen Ramsey does. But I'm sure I'd be on the side of the meter that's a little unpredictable. That's me. And you listen to the show, you know that. All right, but when you are so crass and you are so quick to marginalize peers, all right, and then as things start to go awry, you go radio silent. That's the most he's spoken in weeks.
Yes, but I think he...
I'm enjoying this. I'm sorry, Jaguar fans.
I think he's actually trying not to cause more locker room issues than there already were. Now, there was a report from, like, peeking in the door at the end of the game yesterday that Calais Campbell's trying to hold back Yannick Ngakoue, who's going crazy over something, and they closed the door real quick. Yep. Like there's some you-know-what happening in that locker room.
The word's anarchy. Again, you don't want to say that. I'll say it's anarchy. Synonyms for anarchy. Anarchy. Disorder, by the way.
Disorder, chaos, and mayhem. Anarchy just feels like...
They're synonyms, meaning they mean the same thing.
Yeah, but anarchy feels like, I don't know, the French Revolution.
Yeah, it's a little deeper, true. It's almost like irreparable.
Yes.
I know, where disorder can be... I hear you. But it's still a synonym. It still has the same meaning.
It's true.
I mean, I'm just saying. They deserve this.
Yeah. Well,
they deserve this.
I feel like they are also trying to not be those bad teammates that we would expect when anarchy, I'll adopt your word, anarchy starts to take over a team. Usually it's no holds barred. This guy stinks. You know, I don't know what our coach is thinking. This guy can't play. You start hearing all these anonymous quotes coming out. You're not hearing that. You're not hearing it.
I heard you, by the way.
They're trying.
I heard you. And we'll get calls on this. 855-212-4227.
They're trying.
I'm laughing because Santa just told me about the trade. And we'll tell you what it is and what it entails when we get back that the Dallas Cowboys just made. Wow. Take us to break.
Are you ready for the cold months ahead? Winter months can make many challenges for your vehicle. There are lots of things to do when winterizing your car. Do you have enough antifreeze? Check. Tire pressure? Check. Wiper blades and fluids? Check. Heaters and defrosters working properly? Check. Do you have emergency road supplies? Check. You should also have lubricant ready for latches, hinges, door locks, and weather stripping. What's the one thing you don't want to forget? Your battery. Very cold vehicles can reduce battery power by up to 50%. And when it's cold, your engine needs more current from the battery to get started. Remember, car batteries give very little notice before they die, and one out of four will fail this winter. That is a given. Make sure that it's not yours. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Wow. Let's get into this decision by the Dallas Cowboys. A decision certainly based in desperation.
Yes, that's the only word you can use.
Good God. I mean, somebody only please word. Take the power key away from Jerry Jones. Take the lever of power away from him.
Yes, tell everybody who hasn't heard this already. Yes. I'm sure you got the alert on your phone, but this is what just happened.
Here it is. The Cowboys, done deal, sending a first-round pick to the Raiders for Amari Cooper. Wow. Ian Rappaport had that. Others confirmed it. Good job by them. I mean, so there's two aspects to it. Number one, do you believe Amari Cooper's worth a first-round pick? I personally do not.
No.
And the other aspect is you now have to pay him.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God. And that's the biggest thing. He's in his fourth season now, so he's free. I don't think that the Raiders picked up his fifth-year option, and even if they did, I'm not sure it carries once a trade happens. I'd have to look into the details of that. But he hasn't evolved into that guy that you say, man, I'm scared as heck of Amari Cooper. Man, I've really got to know where this guy is. Mm-hmm. I can't allow him to get one man-to-man or get in a one-on-one matchup in any situation in the game, because if that happens, he's going to the house. We have not said that about Amari Cooper. And if I'm trading, not drafting,
yeah,
because that's on spec,
yep,
but if I'm trading for a guy in his fourth year, he better have at least that, and it's going to be for a first-round pick. Now, look at this deeper and where the Cowboys are right now. The Cowboys are currently 3-4. Maybe this improves them a little bit. Let's spread this out. What happens to the Cowboys now that Amari Cooper's on this team? Do they win, you know, 9 games, 8 games, mm-hmm. 9 games, whatever it's going to be? It's going to be a mid-first-round pick, too. So it's not like this
it's number 26.
Exactly. It's not like the Chiefs, you know, trade or the Saints trading for Amari Cooper.
We'll get to that win. What a great job by the Saints
awesome.
Yesterday.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I thought that was the best win of the day.
BT, Sean Payton, his game planning, his methodology, which we'll get into, was awesome. But if it was the Saints trading for Amari Cooper, that's going to be a 30, 28, 29 pick, right? Mm-hmm. It's worth it, probably. Maybe. If you're desperate. Only if you're desperate, it's worth it. This is not the right move for the Dallas Cowboys.
Plus, if it was the Saints, you can rationalize that Drew Brees' window shutting.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's go a little further maybe than we should
get
to try to cash in
as we can
on what remains of Drew Brees' prime, even though Drew Brees made some plays yesterday down the stretch in gusty winds. That almost makes it seem like his prime's never going to end, which, of course, it will. I mean, listen, this doesn't go back to 2008. I don't know that it's quite this egregious when Dallas gave up 3 picks to the Lions. That's when Jerry Jones tried to pick at the carcass that was Detroit, yep, that was in the middle, yep, of an 0-16 mm-hmm. season. They gave, for Roy Williams, they gave up 3 picks. And then about 3 or 4 days after that, they gave him 5 years, $40 or $45 million, 20 of which was guaranteed he was gone in 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not quite that bad. No. It's not quite that bad. At least I'll give them this much. There's two aspects to a trade that's this aggressive. Number one, is your current situation salvageable? Like, there are certain teams who make trades and they fool themselves.
Yep.
Now, I don't mean based on the return, but based on their current standing in terms of being able to win a division or make a playoff run. Based on the crowdedness, if you will, of the NFC East, it's salvageable enough to make a trade.
Yes.
I'm okay with that part.
Yes, because the
jumbled nature of the division.
Of the NFC East.
For sure.
Absolutely right.
Giants probably lose. Who knows what happens with that Falcons defense. But yeah. Giants probably lose tonight, so they'll be 1-6, and they'll be officially cooked if they're not already officially cooked. Redskins are pretty good. They got 4 wins, but certainly beatable. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith is not what he was with Kansas City. and they've got some holes there. And, you know, the Eagles might get it going, but they're not quite what they were either.
Yeah.
So it opens up the window to maybe steal the win or two and maybe get the requisite 9 or 10 wins to win the NFC East. But my question to you is this. Is Dak Prescott, if you're going to make that kind of a move for a wide receiver with a primary asset, is Dak Prescott the quarterback that you make that move for? Because it's all interrelated here. It's got to be. At least from a good franchise, it would be.
Probably not. Yeah, you know, because I don't see him being a down-the-field thrower, a, you know, accurate dig, you know, dig route or comeback throw. I don't see that in Dak. He may evolve into that, but I don't know yet. He hasn't fully been asked to do it. And I don't know if that's what Scott Linehan really wants him to do. They want to run the ball and make it easy for Dak, move him out of the pocket, Russell Wilson style. But the bigger thing, BT, that we're missing is if you trade for Amari Cooper and you're the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, you get a couple more wins.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I bet then that might even be a stretch, but okay, yeah, a couple sounds like a lot.
Exactly. Maybe you can win the NFC East.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you get into the postseason and maybe win a wild card game. Uh-huh. Are you Super Bowl viable right now in
the
NFC?
No chance you are. No way.
Exactly.
No way. They're just not good enough.
And so you're going to trade for and give up a first round pick and get Amari Cooper for what? I mean, there's no chance you're signing him next year.
It's desperation. Jerry's not a kid. But listen, we all know the answer here.
Jerry wants to win before
he hangs it up.
What if Amari Cooper, who will be a free agent, can you find out if he's on his fifth-year option? I don't know if he
is. I don't think they extended it to him. I don't think. But Mike's going to check on the language of that.
Either way.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You're hung at his discretion.
Yep.
Amari Cooper's going to be like, I got out of that crap hole in Oakland, whatever the heck John Gruden was trying to do. I'm out of that now. And then the Cowboys, what happens if they stink for the rest of the season? You're just like, all right, peace, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm going to the highest bidder somewhere else, and it's not going to be you, Dallas Cowboys. It's just really interesting. I'm baffled by it, in a sense. I really am.
Mm. Mike, would you tell me in my ear there, Teak? So the fifth-year option was picked up. It was. What I was asking Mike in the talkback
button, is it
transferable?
Does it go with him?
With a new trade? I think it is, but I just want to make sure we're fully confirmed on that.
Yeah, I believe once you pick it up, that's now part of his contract.
No, because you can pull it back, Mike. No, well, you can pull it back.
Yeah, because
I don't know. We need. Let's not guess. We need the answer to this.
Agreed.
This is big.
Okay.
Thanks.
Who is the?
I don't know if it's transferable from team to team because how many guys get dealt after you pick up their option?
Correct. So theoretically, you could have two guys that you've picked up their first year option. So whatever draft class this was. Whoever the Cowboys drafted in Amari Cooper's draft class in the first round. I'm
sure it was 14, right? 2014, I guess it was.
It was Zach Martin, right?
14, 15, 16, 17.
It's probably one of those linemen, to be honest with you.
Well,
and I'm sure you're picking up his option.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you going to – yeah, we can't speculate
on
it.
No need to guess. We'll get the answer in a minute.
You're right.
Listen, this is – I don't know how else to say this, but this is just – this is just an aging man – who was desperate for one more day in the limelight. And I can't begrudge him for that.
No.
Because we're all going to get old, right? We're all getting older as it is.
Yep.
And eventually the sun sets on all of us in terms of that moment in the spotlight. And he's been there so long, it's his oxygen. Like, he can't function, Jerry Jones, without it, in my opinion.
Without the hustle.
Without being relevant, without being meaningful, without being important, without having a mic stuck in his face. I feel like he needs that. And in his mind, he justifies, hey, you know what? The first round, by the time whomever we draft next year, by the time that guy pops and he hits his apex or at least the early window of his prime, I'll be in my 80s.
Yeah.
And I'll be bouncing anyway. Let me go for it now.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's what destroys franchises.
Agreed.
Short-sightedness and desperation.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all for Dallas.
So
at all.
The Cowboys drafted Amari Cooper in the first round in 2015. They picked up his fifth-year option. The Dallas Cowboys drafted Byron Jones from Connecticut.
From UConn,
UConn, who had a ridiculous combine and is a super
athlete.
We
had him on the show. Remember, he had the highest vertical of all time.
I think it was a broad jump.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, the longest broad jump of – I think it's like a world record.
It might be, because I remember it stood out to us.
I think it's a world record broad jump, not just, you know, best in National Football League history. But Byron Jones, and I don't know if they picked up his fifth-year option because they moved him around a little bit. He started at corner, went to safety, now he's back at corner, playing a little bit better football. But, yeah, this is an imprudent move I think.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I just don't think that Amari Cooper is that big of a game changer.
We're on the same page with that.
With the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
And two, you're not gaining anything, mm-hmm. especially if he bounces and he's not on the fifth-year option. So you gave up a first-round pick for a guy who's not even going to be on your team next year. Even in 2 years, he's not going to be on your team.
You know what it is? It's throwing up a pinch hitter in the bottom of the ninth with a couple of guys on and hoping you get one fastball and you connect and you hit a 400 feet.
Yeah, but for a first
rounder? No. I'm not saying it's the right move.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. You're just explaining.
You're just trying to hit a three-run bomb and somehow see another day. I mean, really, to give you a baseball analogy, I'm just not feeling this at all. Listen, I sat, like everybody, I watched, I don't know, 10 hours of football yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I watched Thielen, who's just great. By the way, congrats on that record, Adam Thielen.
Oh, without
He is such a great player.
He's the best receiver in football, right?
I agree. Right now he is. And if you don't give him that, I don't think it's fair. But between Thielen, between watching the end of the Saints, between watching the end of the Carolina Panthers, we'll watch the Falcons go crazy, theoretically, on offense tonight. Then I sit there, because Jen's a huge Cowboys fan, as everybody knows. My wife's from Dallas. And I said to her at some point, I said, this is so boring. Like, every pass is like
funny?
4 yards.
Isn't it funny
it's
how that's
just boring?
Isn't it funny how that's become football?
Football has.
I know.
But I see what you're saying.
That we desire to see.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to watch old school, even though the Saints did it.
It's okay against a great defense.
Yes.
I can appreciate that.
Yes.
The Redskins ain't the Ravens,
no.
and there weren't 40-mile-per-hour winds,
no, but,
which almost necessitate that you play that way.
But the Redskins have actually built a very good defense. They really have.
Listen,
and it's geared to
stop. I think the Redskins, I've been saying.
It's geared to
stop
the run. I like
the Redskins. But
I do too.
They're not the Ravens.
No. It's geared to stop the run. And they've done a good job, building those guys up with those two Alabama D tackles that they drafted over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's right.
It's showing up. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice little curveball to the day. 1-855-212-4227. Maybe you guys like Amari Cooper more than Tiki and I do, but you heard our assessment of the trade. Desperation. And a little reckless on the part of the Cowboys. We'll get some reaction to that. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. 5-star rewind coming up. We still have to get to the circus from the Staples Center the other night, which we will. That was, wow. We have a lot to say on that as well. And this is, it's a great Monday. Let's just get the update. We'll come back. We'll get right back to it. Darwin Zook coming at you right now. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, getting a 5-star rewind in a moment. Get some of these calls as well. Time to ask the pros, though. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros, and Tegan and I will answer the best one a little later on. Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We will try to cram it all in, I promise. So, top of the hour, we'll get to the NBA. Little Royal Rumble, little Battle Royal. I mean, that was a legitimate, that was a fight.
Yeah, it was.
That was crazy. And I believe that there is a long-range implication that will really further compromise LeBron's first season with the Lakers. That is, once you get past some of the obvious stuff that we obviously have to hit.
Yep.
There's something there that I think could be a real issue for that Lakers locker room. We'll get to that. Inbounds, out of bounds, Harbaugh, D'Antonio, Michigan State. They got stuff brewing. So we got it all. We'll get to these calls, but you ready for a little 5-star first up?
Yep, let's do it.
Here we go.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest 5-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top 5 games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Okay, as always, we start on the Sunday night stage in Kareem Hunt and the Chiefs doing some early dancing on Cincy. We'll call it a foreshadow.
Face mask high snap, sweep right. Kareem Hunt waiting for a block and then breaks a tackle, 20-yard line. Huddles a man across the 15. Kareem Hunt driving. Down to the 6-yard line. It is a 21-yard run on one of the best runs all season, not only by a Chief, but by anybody in this league in the first 7 weeks.
I mean, I could watch Kansas City play football every day. It is just unbelievable.
Dude, they're just fun.
They really are. Mitch Holt is doing his thing on the Chiefs Radio Network. And you know what, Teak? I know we'll react to the 45 Kansas City hung on Cincy, but how about the 10 points they gave up to a pretty good offense.
I agree. This was a top five offense in the Cincinnati Bengals, and they could not get anything going. This Chiefs team is starting to play better on that side of the ball, which means it's dangerous for the AFC. But when you look at the yardage here, BT, 239 the Bengals put up to 551. That was double the amount of yardage by Kansas City. You got guys, Sammy Watkins going off. He's like the fourth option on this team.
Yeah, he is.
Sammy Watkins, obviously Hunt and Tyreek Hill are just unbelievable.
Kelsey's pretty good, too.
Of course, 500-something yards, three touchdowns.
How do you stop them?
He's almost an afterthought, Travis Kelce, because they're so good everywhere else. They're scary.
Yep.
They're scary good. And more importantly, Pat Mahomes is playing like he's been in the league for 10 years and understands everything that he sees. 22 touchdowns, only five interceptions. That broke Kurt Warner's record for most touchdowns in the first seven games of a season, and he's only getting better, dude.
Just something to think about, because this came out today. Patrick Peterson wants out of Arizona by the trading deadline. Imagine if Kansas City was able to get him. Just think about that. So, Kansas City 6-1. They'll host the Broncos coming up on CBS 1 Eastern. And stunningly, they're laying 10 points. Big favorite there. And Cincinnati's going to host the Tampa Bay Bucks, who beat the Browns. We'll touch on that at some point. But Cincy now 4-3. And the Bengals laying 6 early favorites there. Up next, the game of the day. Windy Baltimore. Joe Flacco with the Ravens marching down late to try and tie things up. Flacco to John Brown. Pretty clutch.
30 seconds left in regulation on second down. Flacco from the 15 fires to the end zone. John Brown has it. Touchdown, Ravens. And with 24 seconds left in regulation, the Ravens are an extra point away from tying it up.
That's how it sounded. Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network. And really, let's face it, at this point, knotting things up at 24, just a mere formality as the great Justin Tucker trots out for the PAT.
Tucker's extra point to tie the game. The kick is up, and it is...
Oh!
No good! No good! It drifted wide right. Justin Tucker has never missed an extra point in his career, and the house is utterly shocked.
Final score, 24-23, Teak. I mean, that's probably the most stunning thing I saw yesterday.
Yeah, that was the most stunning
during
thing.
During the season.
He's never missed. And think about what we're saying. Never missed in his history in the National Football League.
He didn't miss one in college. Did you know that?
Yes.
Never missed one in college.
It's his first miss of his life, basically. And it cost them a game, which was a tight one. And we talked about this briefly, but Sean Payton's game plan was excellent. The weather was chilly and it was windy. So instead of being high-flying New Orleans Saints like Drew Brees is wont to do, he grinded it out. Went for it four times from fourth down in the first series alone. It took almost 10 minutes. They got no points, but it set the tone for what they were trying to do all day. Drew Brees had 114 rating. He only had 30 attempts, 22 completions, and 212 yards. But two touchdowns and a huge pickup by Drew Brees on fourth down when he snuck. So this Saints team is developing a character which they have never had before. A grinded out, we can win tough games in bad weather conditions, something that previous Saints teams, you couldn't even think about.
It's the best win of the day.
Agreed.
It was such a character win. Now, let's face it, post-game, if you're a kicker and they want to talk to you, you either made a big one or you shanked or you pushed one. And post-game, Tucker putting on his big boy pants and he faced the heat.
I feel like I cost us the game. Every single one of my teammates thus far has told me the opposite, and you know, no one play wins or loses a game. Nothing will change for me, I'll tell you that. I'll look at the game like I always do and do everything I can to compartmentalize what happened this evening and move on from it.
Okay, so Baltimore's now 4-3 at Carolina. That's CBS coming up 1 Eastern on Sunday, week number 8. Carolina plus 1.5 at home. And as for the Saints, 5-1 at the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Vikings early 1-point favorites at home. So they're really saying the Saints might be a little bit of a better team if you know how you get 3 points from being at home. That's going to be awesome. We'll spend a lot of time on that, obviously, a little later in the week. Up next, Teak, to Jacksonville we go. Remember when the Jags were actually good? Blake Bortles, a mess.
3rd and 7 from the 4. Shotgun dropping the throw. Blake looks. They blitz. He gets hit, runs out of there. Made a man miss. Now the fumble. Blake has fumbled the ball again, and the Texans have picked it up. Blake Bortles fumbled on the run. And the Texans have recovered the Blake Bortles fumble near the 12-yard line of Jacksonville.
Well, he fumbled on the first drive of the first half.
Wow.
And here he does on the first drive of the second half.
All right, put down the helmet, pick up the baseball cap. You're sitting for a little bit here. That is how it sounded. Frank Frangie and Tony Baselli on the Jaguars radio network. Jaguars now 3-4. Texans pick up win number 14.
Yeah, Cody Kessler had to come in and make his due after Blake Bortles got put to the bench. He actually did okay, 156 yards and a touchdown. He did have that one interception that we talked about. It was really T.J. Yeldon's fault, not his fault. But Jacksonville's got a lot to figure out. Right, they're in an identity crisis without Leonard Fournette being able to grind the ball and grind first downs and make this offense easier to operate so they can rely on their defense. Doug Marrone's got a really tough decision in front of him as he tries to reignite this Jacksonville team. I don't know how easy that's going to be, but for the Houston Texans, give them all the credit in the world. They came into a tough environment. They played smart football. They didn't have any turnovers. And more importantly, they ran the ball against a very good front seven in Jacksonville.
Well, you mentioned Houston. Quick turnaround, Teak. They're back at it to kick off week number 8. They'll host Miami, who lost over the weekend. So the Texans are now 4-3. Jacksonville 3-4. They'll take on the Eagles. That is in London, 9:30 Eastern. So Philly's going to be ticked off. They lost a tough one to Carolina. NFL Network, 9:30 Eastern, Sunday morning. And postgame, Doug Marrone on his quarterback.
The thought process behind it was, I'm going to take the quarterback out. All right. It's not like he played worse than anyone else out there. But at the same time, I just literally did it to try to get a damn spark from this football team to put everyone on notice, okay, to that they have to focus and they have to go out there and play better. That's not fair to the quarterback, but that's the way this business is. But for me, it's on everyone.
Okay, so Marrone, that's where he stands. We move on. Chicago, let's go there. Some magic moves in the open field for Cordarrelle Patterson and the Pats, who got a little bit of everything as they beat the Bears.
Kickoff by Parkey, left to right, to the 5-yard line, handled by Patterson, left side, to the 10, to the 15, right to the 20, 25, 30,
go kid.
Avoids a hit, and he runs right to the 40.
Bye-bye.
Trying to outrun the kicker to the 45, 40, he will. He's in the clear. Goodbye, Cordarrelle Patterson, loose to the 10, a high five at the 5, and trotting into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Boy, that'll make up for fumbling earlier. Get your butt in the end zone.
Crazy thing, his kicker was moving a little bit.
I know it.
I mean, but you get Patterson some green, nobody's going to catch him on the special teams. That was crazy. That's how it sounded. Bob Soci, Scott Zolak, Pats Radio Network. By the way, Zolak will stop by and join us in the third hour to talk about the Pats. But this game had a little bit of everything,
too. Yeah, they
fun.
Really did, BT. And then let's not forget, Cordarrelle Patterson had to return that kick for a touchdown because this game got tight because he fumbled one, which the Chicago Bears took advantage of. This game looked like it was headed towards a significant blowout. But the Chicago Bears, give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Defensively, the Pats do what they want to do. I mean, they're going to be the highest scoring team in the National Football League, maybe even behind Kansas City. Those are going to be the 1 and 2 in the NFL. I think Pats and Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs probably won. But the Pats can score. Defensively, though, it feels like this Pats team is starting to get to that bend, don't break, and it was no more apparent than on the last play of the game with Kevin White catching Mitch Trubisky's pass on the 1-inch yard line and getting driven back. It came oh so close to tying this thing up, but the Pats hold on just like the Pats are always seem to do.
And just like the Pats are always in the perfect position. What a surprise. 1 yard short.
You're right.
Absolutely incredible. They get a no disrespect, they get a little break coming up this week. They're at the Bills, who obviously are a mess right now. Just really, just not a functional offensive team. They've got all sorts of issues. Defense is getting a little tired. They got smacked around in Indianapolis. So the Pats 5-2, 13.5-point favorites on the road. So that's coming up week 8. And then we've got the Chicago Bears hosting my Jets, who got knocked around a little bit late by the Vikings. That one is in Chicago, and the Bears about a touchdown favorite there. Finally, a huge comeback by the Panthers. Just a defensive play away from holding up in Philly.
31 seconds left. Fourth down and 2. Wentz has the snap. A low snap, but Wentz is looking. And Wentz cocks his arm. Ball's loose. Out. Ball's out of there. Still loose on the field. Picked up by Peter. Now he loses it. And it's recovered. And the Panthers are going to win the game.
Say it again, Mick. The Carolina Panthers are going to win this game. Absolutely improbable.
Yeah, that's a great word. I mean, improbable, implausible, not happening. They were down 17-0 at one point. Yeah. They would get blown out. No, they win the game.
This one was ugly, BT, with their last drive in the third quarter. They were down 17-0. Goes into the fourth quarter, and Cam Newton turns into Peyton Manning. He just leads drive after drive after drive, gets them in touchdowns with a reverse to Samuel, Devin Funchess, and then Greg Olsen catching an easy one on a play action down there. But then worse, this, for me, this was on Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, with their penultimate drive, not the last one, because we just heard the result of their last one, they went 3 and out after they were still up by 1. That was the 4-minute offense, right? When you're up by a score and you have the ball in the fourth quarter, don't let it go. They went 3 and out. credit to the Panthers defense, but even more so to Cam Newton for keeping his composure after a game that was really rough for him for the first part of it.
And by the way, Teeth, the call that we heard, Mick Mixon, Panthers Radio Network, Eugene Robinson, former player in the booth as well. Philly now 3-4, so below 500 for the champs. They're taking on the Jaguars. Mentioned that. That's in London. Philly minus 3. Carolina host the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens coming off a loss. Post-game, Cam says, we got the dub.
I think every win is a statement win, you know, but I think we were against the ropes to a degree. We didn't have a good performance in the first half. We understand that. We know that. We know that can't happen, you know, especially versus a good team like this. But, you know, moving forward, this is a confidence booster for us. You know, it's something that can accelerate, you know, the production offensively, defensively, as well as special teams.
Okay. All right. So that's the kind of win where it energizes the locker room. It galvanizes the fan base. I mean, listen, there's wins and then there's wins that you just look back and say, maybe this is the beginnings of something maybe special in Carolina. They weren't supposed to win this game.
No, they weren't.
When you're down 17-0.
Yeah, and again, you people panic a little bit in Philadelphia right now, and it's okay. There's just a lot of injuries on that team. There's a lot of them, especially with the Jay Ajayi out and Darren Sproles hadn't played all season long. It gets really rough when you're not playing with the same crew that you did it with last year.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Teek. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. It's fluid. I know it sounds contrived, but it's the NFL. It's dangerous. Guys get hurt all the time.
You're right.
You know, we'll watch the Falcons tonight. They're starting running back who they gave money to. He's not playing. He's gone.
Nope.
You know, Freeman's out.
And half their defense.
And not to mention their secondary, which is completely banged up. I thought the Saints over the Ravens, the Redskins over the Cowboys, just based on divisional supremacy and logistics there, maybe. And the game that we just hit, Carolina and Philly, the three most important games of the Sunday. You know what? How about Saturday night? A little fight at Staples if we get to this next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.